The search for your family's history can be kind of a pleasant pastime, or sometimes it can border on obsession with some people. And I guess it's not surprising that genealogy is often ranked as the number one hobby in the United States. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And thanks as well to Lori Bessler, who is a reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society. She teaches genealogy workshops to help people piece together their family histories. And Lori, thank you for coming back on the program.
Thank you for inviting me.
Great to see you again. And certainly, as our listeners, as you listen in and have questions, maybe you are doing some work on your family tree, and maybe you've run into a little stumbling block, or maybe you've got a good story to tell in relation to that. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is The Larry Mueller Show. So I'd love to have you go there as well. Lori, what are some of the motivations that people have to research their family histories? And you probably heard it all.
I think I have over 25 years at the Society. So, you know, there's such a wide variety of reasons why people get in and how deep they go. Some people, like me, I started in middle school and never looked back, have been looking for all these years, over 35 years of research. To solve questions that, you know, stories that dads and moms tell us and wondering, is that a true story or what's, you know, what's more detail about it? On Genealogy Roadshow the other night that was televised, they had a really good story of a woman who had been looking for information about her grandfather, who had thought, you know, he always had a sister. And so she just wanted to find some closure on that one issue. So sometimes it's that simple. You just want to find the one answer to this one question. Other times you are in it for the lifespan of the research. So, and you wanted to keep digging deeper and deeper and looking at wider picture of the whole thing. So wide reason why.
So, and just for yourself personally, you've developed a pretty good list of your relatives and everything?
Oh, yeah, but I still have my brick walls, too.
Okay.
So there's still those, you know, after years and years of research, so.
Well, let's talk about how you get around those brick walls or just some basic resources that people can use to piece together their family history, and maybe starting with public records. What exists and how do you access them?
Yeah, you know, I usually start people out making sure whether they've been doing research for a while or not. I always start them out looking at obituaries, which are newspapers usually, and quite a few of them are online now through badgerlink.net in Wisconsin. You have free access to newspaper archives, great resource. And then some of them are only on microfilm, which you can have access to through us at Historical. Then birth, marriage, and death records, one of the most important things. Well, Wisconsin birth, marriage, and death records, not digitized online. You have to contact an institution. The county would be the Register of Deeds office. At the state, we have pre-1907 records. After that, you would contact the state vital record office. So there's places to go for these things. And then censuses, one of the most accessible things, and quoted in Genealogy Roadshow all the time. They always go to the census. And so those are available at most public libraries using Ancestry.com. So there's so much available, but it's not just in one place. It's not just online. It's in a lot of variety of different places.
The internet, I think, has been a real boon for people, for genealogists as a research tool. And there are some common sites and there are some free sites that, you know, and people would, you know, what can I get for free at least?
Oh, yeah. That's what I am, too.
Yeah, well, sure.
It's expensive otherwise. It's a very expensive hobby or research, you know, strategy. So the online stuff that you would be able to find, I mentioned Ancestry. You know, you can actually host your tree on Ancestry for free. A lot of people think you have to subscribe to do that. You don't. You can share your information there for free. They have a library edition that has a lot of the core stuff that we all start with, passenger lists, censuses, a lot of stuff. So go to your local library. Heritage Quest online. RootsWeb.com. There's a lot of places. DeathIndexes.com is a place where you can find out what institutions out there have online vital records. And so there's a lot of strategies. And the best way to find out where all these places are is to contact us at Historical.
That's right.
Because we keep a list of these different resources, and we can work with you to be able to determine what's the most important place for you to contact.
That sounds great. And you know, there are a lot of personal family materials that we could probably talk about, too. Great sources. I would expect probably the Bible, family Bibles would be one, but there's others as well.
Oh, yeah. Definitely the things that you have at home or that your cousins or your other family members have at home. Getting an inventory of those kinds of things. One of the projects I have in my family is doing an inventory of our artifacts. We lost our parents about 10 years ago. The house was dispersed, and mm-hmm. so everybody has something different that they took away. Having a photograph of that item in from various directions and creating an inventory and asking everybody, what do you remember of that painting? What was the history you remember of this? And so all of those different artifacts as well as documents that came down through the family is important.
Well, we have callers online who want to visit with you. So let's go, Lori, to our first caller, who's Connie in Portage. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I don't have a computer. I'm 76 and don't intend to get one for a while anyway. But I've traced both all sides of the family, but my grandmother's back to Mercer County in Pennsylvania. And I'm stuck. I can't go any further. They say we went there, and they don't have any records that early.
Wow. And who did you contact in Mercer County?
We went to the library, and I'm trying to think. It's been a long time since we went there.
Okay.
But I can't remember who else. We went a couple different places.
Well, right away, knowing that it's been a long time, you want to revisit this. And so contacting the Mercer County Historical Society, if there's a Mercer County Genealogical Society, the public libraries in Mercer County, not just in the one town that your family may have settled in, but other towns, Pennsylvania County Historical Society. One place you can start with is us at Historical, because our collection is North American in scope. And so it's possible we may have some county histories that could shed some light on Mercer County.
Oh, that'd be very useful.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be through email. You can phone us at the reference desk or at my office number.
Okay, great. I'll do that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Your number is online, or people can...
Our numbers are online.
Of course, she's not online. Connie's not online.
That's true. So my phone number is 608-264-6519. And actually, I work with people all the time. Make an appointment. You can come to the society. I can do this by phone, however it's most convenient. And really just brainstorm on the possibilities of other resources you may not realize are out there and where those are located.
That's wonderful. 608-264-6519. Connie, thanks again. Good luck. And let's go to Steve in Montreal. Hi, Steve. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Question on family backgrounds. My father's people were from Canton Zurich, Switzerland. I have a copy of the passport issued by Canton Zurich. And he took citizenship in Milwaukee. I'm looking at a copy of the document. Took it in April the 4th of 1859. But is there any way I can find out where they lived in Wisconsin? Because after they left Wisconsin, they went to Till City, Indiana, thanks to the Swiss Colonization Society. And I retired back up here. I'd just like to know where they lived. You know, New Galaris has got a big Swiss population, but I don't know. Can I find out?
Oh, sure. I'm sure we can help you with that. Now, one thing right away, have you looked at that in 1860 Milwaukee census?
No.
Okay. That would be one of the first places I would look. And just checking if you don't already subscribe to Ancestry, then checking if your local library does.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at my notes here finally. In the 1860 federal census, he was in Troy Township, Perry County, Indiana. That's Tell City down on the Ohio River.
Okay, so he's naturalized in Milwaukee. He's living in Milwaukee before 1859, probably at least 5 years.
or could he have been out in the environs somewhere?
It's possible, but we know he naturalized in Milwaukee. The 1855 census of Wisconsin is a possibility. That's on FamilySearch.org, the Latter-day Saints website.
He'd have still been in Switzerland then.
Because he came in what year?
He came in 1857.
Okay.
Okay, well, I would look at the Milwaukee City Directories. Now, some of those are actually on fold3.com, or we have a whole set of them, as well as the Milwaukee Public Library has a whole set of them. And so those are really nice when you have those years between censuses.
Very good.
Well, help me out. Oh, by the way, it is a beautiful sunny day here in... Oh, it's up to 9 degrees here.
Oh, heat wave.
Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. And let's go to Wendy in Oconomowoc next. Wendy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, I am on Ancestry.com, and I spend $300 a year for that, which is kind of expensive. I did find my great-great-grandfather as a Wisconsin veteran from the Civil War, and also his father was in the Civil War at the age of 40. So they were, it looks, sounds like they were taking everybody.
Yeah.
I found out his grave in Seymour, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And it says he was from the 16th Infantry, Company A. Is there any resources to find out more about what he done in the Civil War?
You know what's fun is that I have a great-great-great-grandfather who is in the 16th as well, Company C.
Ah.
So that's interesting, isn't it? So there's a lot of documentation about our Civil War ancestors, not much of which is online, okay? So what we have automatically is that we have what are called red and blue books, compiled service records. That tells you what they did in the war, okay? So we also have a collection in the archives called Series 1200. If you actually want to touch the documents that were created at the time they were in the war, you want to look at this series, 1200, in the archives. So we also have regimental histories that would tell you more about the regiment as a whole, what they did.
Hmm. Wendy?
So I was switching from my radio to the phone when you said where you were from.
Oh,
so
I'm from the Wisconsin...
Is that on Facebook?
Yeah, the Wisconsin Historical Society is where I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we have a link right in Madison on the UW-Madison campus. Mm-hmm. And you can certainly come and visit, or you can speak with Wendy or others on the phone.
Yeah,
or,
you can always call
Lori.
Me. Yeah, you can always call me and talk to me about the certain case you're working on and see what resources and how accessible those resources are.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't unusual that I couldn't find it online then?
No, that's not
okay.
Unusual at all.
Okay.
You know, when you think about the scenario that I always put up together is that if you're looking at creating a house, building a house, you wouldn't just do that with a hammer and a screwdriver. You have a lot of different tools. And so Ancestry is definitely a big hammer, and Family Search is as well. But they definitely have gaps in their holdings. And so there's certainly a really important need to work with historical societies locally and state, as well as public libraries and other institutions like that.
And, you know, as a related call, caller Meg said that her friend pays for an Ancestry.com membership just during the winter months when she has more time to take advantage of it.
Exactly. It can be a month-by-month subscription. If you host your trees on there, it doesn't take your trees off when you stop subscribing. You just don't get access to those digital collections. The other thing I'd make sure people know is that if you find a digital collection on there, please save that off of Ancestry. Save it as a JPEG or a PDF so that you're walking away with those images.
Yeah, absolutely. Wendy, thanks again for calling. I appreciate appreciate your call. Visiting today with Lori Bessler, reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society, talking about researching your family's history. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I hope you'll stay tuned, because today at 11:45 we'll continue talking about family histories with the author of a book that chronicles her grandmother's life, often through recipes. And so there's going to be a whole lot of recipe conversation, too. That's at 11:45. Right now, we're getting great advice from Lori Bessler about how to research your family history. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. The title of that page is The Larry Mueller Show. Let's go to Jim in Colfax next. Jim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I've talked to you a few times. Great show again. I thought it was interesting that about 5 years ago, my wife and I purchased a piece of property. It's always been passed down from generation to generation from the 1800s. 1876, it was settled and homesteaded. We have the original abstract to the property. And when I went through it, I found it to be interesting. It was always passed down to another member of the family, basically for a dollar. So I want to know more about it. So my whole family grew up in that area, in Dunn County, all of our lives from the late 1800s. I went to an aunt that was 80 years old or so, and she pulled out a book of the history of Dunn County. From there, I could make a copy of whatever I wanted out of it, but I wanted my own set, so I went to Amazon and purchased books. They're a hardcover, brand new, beautiful books, and it gave me the whole history of the county, but it also showed in the book the settlement of when people settled and all the names of the family that were there and kind of what they did, the work that they did, maybe if they left the family. You know, right along with the Knapp family and Dunn County, the logging, all the history there. But I thought it was very useful just to be able to research it by having a county book that's been dated and the whole history of it.
Yeah.
So maybe to other listeners, it would be another way to research it. And, you know, I would have never known it was there. This book was available other than my aunt had a very old copy, and they continue to print them if you request them.
Oh, that's really cool, isn't it, Lori?
Yeah, county histories are really vital in your research, definitely. And especially if they've been published shortly after the time period you're researching. Many of those that are published before 1923 have been digitized. And so you can get them on sites like for Internet Archive, through Google, various places online where you can pull up these county histories. On our website, we have about 70 county histories that you can go to. So if you went to wisconsinhistory.org and then looked under community history, then you'd have access to those and be able to pull them up and print them out.
That's really cool. Jim, thank you again for calling. I really appreciate it. I want to give Jan in Milwaukee a chance to join us next. Jan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a question about getting some court records from way back in 1918. My grandfather, his wife died. My father and his brother were taken away from him and put in the children's home. And there was a court proceeding. And I was wondering how I could get to see those court proceedings because they were closed, where I have to go to some lawyer and get something. And my father has been dead for 40 years, and his brother has been dead for at least 20 years. So all that's left is the grandchildren, and we're all like 60-some years old. So I'd like to see, can I do this? Or
It's possible. How do you know about the records being closed?
We have copies. I have records of things that were written in the 20s that say people made inquiries. My mother made inquiries. She's been dead for 20 years, and she made inquiries about it. And that I have documents that say that, you know, this is closed. You can't get, you know.
Okay, and what county?
You can't get at it.
What county?
Milwaukee County.
Milwaukee County.
Okay. County.
What I would suggest actually is to question if those are indeed still closed, okay?
Yeah.
And to do that, you would probably want to work with our archivists or the archivists at our Area Research Center in Milwaukee. If you email us at asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org, asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org, you'll get me again, and then I can put you in touch with who you would talk to.
Okay.
That would be
excellent.
All right,
okay. That sounds good. Yeah, because I have a lot of other records, and I'm working with some other people to find out what happened there. It's been a big, long mystery all our lives, all the children's lives, well, everybody's life.
Well, those are the ones we like to help you crack.
this one, the more I learn, the deeper it gets.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's what's so fun about it.
I only got one hand right now. I broke my arm. So
goodness.
I will listen to this again and write that down.
All right. Okay. And we'll have on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, there'll be a link as well. So you can just go right to that too, Jan, if you want to. Thanks a lot for calling. Well, now this mystery has got me interested. I want to know what happened.
Welcome to the world of a reference librarian.
Wow, yeah.
We love to hear these stories.
Yeah, it's really cool. Judith looked something up, and some Wisconsin libraries offer in-library access. You mentioned that on the air.
Right. They call it Ancestry Library Edition. Another website that is that way is Heritage Quest Online, and actually they have new publicity out. If you've ever used that site before, they are revamping that site, which means to me there's a good chance they're adding more. And so that and MyHeritage.com, another great place where people are putting their trees, they have a library edition as well.
Oh,
so check with your local library. See what they have to offer for you.
Let's turn to Tim and Stevens Point next. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I got a genealogy club here in Stevens Point, and I've been asking questions all about it. My family was from Dane County, around Springfield Hill.
Okay.
And the question I had was, when I started out with this, I thought my grandfather was an only child, and it turns out he had 9 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
That's
quite different, isn't it?
Yeah, and one of my grandmothers, I found out just by chance that when she got married, she went from Milton by oxcart to Chippewa Falls. And this is about 1880. I thought they would have gone by train by then, but no, by oxcart.
That was a bumpy ride.
Yeah.
But the question I had is, as I'm on that family, I'm missing one grandfather or great uncle, and because I don't know, who was married in Germany when they came over. It says 1850 and 1854 is when some of them came over.
Okay.
But the question I really had was, where do I find, not immigration, but the naturalization papers? I've only found my grandfather's, and that was, it said, Waukesha.
Okay. So a naturalization process, that's to become a citizen, is basically what we're talking about. And so when they did this, they left a paper trail. Mm-hmm. And it's usually a two-part paper trail. The first papers are filed, declaration of intent, and then you become a citizen after a certain amount of residency in the country. And so that paper trail could have been processed at a federal court or a state court. And so that makes a difference as to where the records are, of course. If it was a federal court, you may find an index on Ancestry.com that leads you to records that are at Chicago for Wisconsin. Then if it's a state court, that's where we can help you out at the Historical Society. So you would want to email us at that asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org or give us a call and we can help you identify where those records are. They're spread across the state at area research centers, so we can help you identify those locations.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to Natasha, who is in Eshkoro. Hi, Natasha.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a friend who is a veteran, and he was deployed in Germany over in the 70s, and he married a German woman and had a baby. And then the relationship stopped, and he's never had a chance to meet his daughter. And I'm just, I think the best idea would to be to find the mother, of course. But I'm just wondering how you would go about finding somebody in Germany, the easiest way.
Yeah. Does your friend know a specific location in Germany?
Probably.
Okay. If he does, and I would assume he did if he had married the lady, it would be tracking down some paperwork over there and most likely working with institutions there. Starting, I would guess, with the local government of a community would be a good idea. But what I would suggest, actually, is if you can email me that information, I can get in touch with different institutions that will help me identify who to get you in touch with. I can do a little of the legwork for you.
Oh.
Okay.
And there's no fee for that. I'll do what I can to find some contact information for you. But it sounds like he's going to need to work with people over there for that time period.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the website asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org?
Right. That's the email address.
Is it WI History or Wisconsin?
It's Wisconsin, all spelled out.
Okay.
Wisconsinhistory.org /genealogy.
It's the email address.
Oh,
it's
asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, well, I will do that.
Awesome.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Another kind of interesting and mysterious story isn't it?
It is.
Wow.
It's fun because I get to hear the story, but it's not so fun because I don't get to hear the end of the story.
Yeah, and here's a situation where you wonder if the daughter ever knew. There's all kinds of things that could come from that. Yeah. Thanks, Natasha. Jerome and Mequon, your turn. Hi, Jerome.
Hi. I just have two quick questions. My first question is confirming the name of your wonderful guest. I heard for her first name, I first heard the name Connie. Then I heard the name Lori. For her last name, I first heard Wetzler, and I heard Betzler. Could you confirm exactly what her name is?
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I pronounced the name correctly every time. It's Lori Bessler, Besseler. And first
very
name,
good,
Lori.
Helpful. Now, my other question of your guest, Lori, is do you have plans to write a book? You sound like a natural person to that.
If I only had time. No, I don't have plans to write a book. There are a lot of great books out there and great websites that will help people do this research at whatever level they're at. And so, you know, if you do want to know about some good books, contact us, and I can put you on the trail of some good books to have access to.
And coming up in the next segment of our program, we'll be talking with Genevieve Davis, who has written a book about her grandmother and the kind of the history, family history, through mostly through the kitchen, through recipes, and a lot of really, frankly, very interesting stories that go along with it. So,
Lori obviously has a wonderful knowledge, and I think that's the most important basis for a book.
Yeah.
Encourage you, Lori.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jerome, for calling and for the encouragement. Appreciate it very much. Linda in Marshfield, it's your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My father's passed away for 25 years, and he originally was from Clark County. And the Nielsville station there really, really was very helpful in checking about my father's past. But my mother is from Germany. My father married my mother during World War II, and she escaped from the East Zone to the West Zone. Now, I know she knows that her parents have died. My mother is just about going through dementia and Alzheimer's, but she has some sisters. And from a previous caller, maybe you could help me to locate the sisters if I get their names.
And if you have a location. Do you have a location in Germany?
No, because of the switch from the East Zone to the West Zone, my mother lost complete contact.
Oh,
we did try contacting them many, many years ago, and we were unsuccessful.
Well, I think there's more groups over in Germany that are helping families get back together. And so I'd want to make sure that we get you in touch with one of these organizations. So, again, I would encourage you to email us as well so that I can find out where's an agency that can help you with this kind of research. Anything since 1920 is you really are working with locals in those circumstances when it's overseas.
Mm. There we go. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. Scott in La Crosse, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Thank you. I would like to put in a plug here for, and I'm working as a volunteer. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a moment. But I don't know whether other counties are like this or not. But my project is I'm a volunteer at the local history room for Monroe County, located in Sparta, Wisconsin. And what we have there is our indexes. Anybody who puts the name of someone they're looking for into that homepage index, it'll index birth records, death records, marriage records, newspaper articles, census records, all of that for Monroe County. And my project, speaking of mysteries, I could probably give you an hour on this alone. I have been given the registers from the old poorhouse and asylum from the late 1800s to the 1930s. And I am right now working on a spreadsheet entering data from those two institutions. And that will then be incorporated into the other indexes that are available so that anybody who had any relatives involved in either the poorhouse or the asylum would find those listed, as well as all the other indexes. Now, if other counties are like this, I just think it's a wonderful resource, and we have lots of people who are continually coming in. And since I've been doing my project, even I've had people who stop in as I'm in there some days working on it, and they'll say, you know, my uncle was in the asylum for a while. Could you look him up? And yeah, I can do that for you. So anyhow, it's really a great resource, and I highly encourage people. As they say, I don't know about other counties, but what I've found in Monroe County is really
great. Yeah, really great. Well, Lori, do we find that sort of thing elsewhere?
You should always assume you will and look for it. Basically, yeah. As I said before, it's not just one institution you're going to all of them. WSGS is the Wisconsin State Genealogical Society. They have a conference coming up at the later part of March where they have people from our institution speaking there. And one of the talks I'm going to give is all the different types of institutions you need to contact. Local historical societies are so valuable. There are treasures hiding there, and so we want to find them.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling. And by the way, you provide training for genealogies. You've got a lot of recorded webinars that people can sign up for.
Yeah, the benefit of the recorded webinar is that you don't have to be watching it at a certain time. You can pull it up at 2 o'clock in the morning when you have some time if you want to. And so if you go to our website, you'll have links to those recorded webinars. One of them is about family history projects. And so doing any kind of project, I go through, it's 2 hours, talking about a variety of talks, or project ideas, one of which are cookbooks. So there's a lot of different possibilities. It doesn't have to be that 2-inch thick book with all the data.
You know, we are going to be talking, coming up next, as I mentioned earlier, an author wrote a history of her maternal grandmother, and it's really centered on sharing recipes for the Viennese cooking that she did. Have you seen other family histories? You have.
I have.
For historians who use food and recipes to round out the story.
It is. It's true. There's so much of our life as a family comes around food. It really does. The traditions that we have in our separate families and how we've blended a lot of our backgrounds. Some of it's German, some of it's Norwegian, and we've come up with our own recipes, let alone the ones that have been carried down from generations.
What about other materials and elements? What can be used to enhance the dates and other facts?
Oh, there's, telling a story is the most important part of this. Being able to share your research. In the beginning, we start with names, dates, and places. They get cold and dull really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the time period a person was born and the location, and then looking at the broader picture of what was happening when they were born. When they got married, it was in 1918. Well, did the husband end up going off to war right away? We don't always think of that. So putting things into a timeline is one of the newer strategies in genealogy. So if the listeners out there have not done that, it's eye-opening to put information that they've gathered into a timeline.
Ah, that's
awesome.
A great way to do it. Absolutely. Marilyn in West Bend has a question. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, good morning. Great
morning.
Show.
Thank you.
I'm a real fan of these genealogy programs. The particular favorite is the one on PBS with the professor. I can't remember his name offhand. But,
it's Henry Louis Gates, Finding Your Roots. I'm obsessed with him, too.
Oh, my gosh. He's so good.
He is.
And anyway, what is interesting to me particularly is the DNA testing that they do where they can tell you, you know, practically down to your village where you came from. I know that I'm Swedish and Norwegian mostly, but I have a French-Canadian grandfather, and because of that, I suspect I probably have some Native American blood in me then. And I would love to have my DNA tested, but my daughter had this done maybe about 10 years ago, at least through the Smithsonian, of all things,
mm-hmm.
and that was fascinating. It did show us ending up in Scandinavia.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I know there's a lot more that they can do these days, and I was wondering if you have any experience with that.
Best place for it and so forth? Or?
Yeah, you know what? There's a couple of different places to consider. And when I say consider, you need to research it and see if each of these companies is going to do what you want it to do. So Ancestry, of course, has their DNA testing that they do. 23andMe is the one that Dr. Henry Louis Gates uses all the time and swears by. And then also Family Tree DNA is another one. The Smithsonian, National Geographic. There's a lot of different companies who have done this in the last 10 or 15 years. What I did Ancestry because I knew pretty much where my family was coming from. There were not going to be a lot of surprises. So I did it because then people who also do it through Ancestry, I've connected now to cousins I did not know existed.
Oh.
And so they've had things like photos they've been able to share with me. That's the benefit I see out of DNA testing. I think in certain ethnic groups, it's almost very vital for you to investigate it. African American before 1870 can be very frustrating to do. Native American can be very frustrating to do. The paper trail is not there. We really depend on DNA.
What does it cost? Or what's a rough cost?
You know, Ancestry is about $90. Sometimes they have a deal. Other companies, more like $200 or $300. It's a science. You need to really learn what that science is. It gives different results for different tests.
Well, and you know what? Anywhere from $100 to $300, if you really want to know, I mean, it's probably worth the money, or it could well be worth the money.
It could be worth the money.
Well, you're certainly well worth the money, Lori. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. This was a lot of fun and very interesting, and I really appreciate you taking the time.
Not a problem. I enjoyed every time.
You'll come back again.
Oh, definitely.
All right. She will. Lori Bessler, reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society. And great to have her along. So many people enjoy genealogy, and it's always fun to hear what they've discovered in the course of their research. Coming up next, we're going to talk with the author of a book that chronicles her Austrian grandmother's life, often through recipes. So you stay tuned here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.